بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم قال الله تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله العظيم Respected علماء الكرام elders, brothers, we are going through an era of wars throughout the world. You'll find different places there are wars taking place. Muslims are being killed, Muslims are being massacred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist them. Allah give them victory. One is the physical war we all know about. How much of this actually is real? How much is orchestrated? How much is planned? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Then another war which most people don't know about is the ideological war, wherein they are using psychological warfare. The kuffar, Islam, and the Muslims are the greatest enemies. So they are working very hard around the clock how to deprive us of our deen, deprive us of our identity as Muslims, deprive us of our haya, modesty. So this is the ideological war. And this war is something that is happening throughout the world. And most people don't even know about this war. Sometimes a child is just saying, I'm no more Muslim now. I've left Islam. Every other week, we're getting cases like this. Child born and brought up in a Muslim home, and the child just leaves Islam. Someone is becoming an atheist. Someone is becoming a Hindu. Someone is becoming gay. Someone is becoming lesbian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all our children. But this is a reality. And only when a person understands how real this is, then he will understand what steps he needs to take to protect himself and protect the iman and deen of his family. The third war is the spiritual war. That is the war that is happening in the spiritual world. And alhamdulillah, as Muslims, remember, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taught us everything. He had left us with the Quran Sharif. He has left us with some very, very powerful du'as. Du'as to be read in the morning, du'as to be read in the night. But ulama explain that these du'as and these ayats, they are like a sword. You can give a person the best sword in his hand, but if he cannot use the sword and he doesn't have the power to strike the sword, he's not going to get the required effect of that. Asifu bidarim. Largely it depends on the person that is using it. So when you're reading these du'as, when you're reading these ayats, when you're reading the verses, what level of yaqeen do we have? What level of conviction do we have? So this is the spiritual war. And remember, as we get further away from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the barakat diminishes. The darkness increases. There is more darkness. Batil forces start to get stronger because we're moving further away from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then we find that if we look within our own lives, you'll find that sins are on the increase. Haram is on the increase. So batil is again getting stronger because there's sins everywhere. Everywhere there's pictures of inanimate objects. People got big screens, big TVs. Apart from the big screen, the big TV, the small screen in our pockets, which we're using to view wrong things, pictures of inanimate objects. This is chasing the farishtas away. And with that, the shayateen are getting stronger. There's more shayateen, there's more shaitans. There's a narration in the introduction of Sahih Muslim. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi brought a narration from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, wherein he says, "Inna fil bahri shayateena masjuda, masjuna." Othaqaha Sulaiman alayhi salam. That in the ocean, there are certain shaitans and jinnats that are locked up. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam locked them up. Yushiku an takhruja fataqra'a 'ala an-nasi Qur'anan. It's just a matter of time, very soon these shayateen are going to come out and they're going to recite something to people. So there's different possibilities of what it's going to recite and to who it's going to recite. But there are a lot of senior personalities of India, Pakistan, etc., who strongly feel that these shayateen have been released and they have come out into the open. And that's why you are seeing more of these different issues. Then the kuffar, largely, they use this. Magic is part of their culture. If you go and study, you will see, you will hear terms like Kabbalah, all this. So it's part of their culture, it's part of the weapons that they use against us. Magic, shayateen, jinnat, you find that these things are being dispatched, they're being sent out, they're causing havoc, they're causing problems. Sometimes if it is affecting someone, then he is going somewhere for treatment. Those shayateen speak lies. Remember, you can never ever believe a shaitan. Maybe many of us remember Mufti Siraj Sahib, who was here in his finger rails, still in UK now. So once someone came to him for some treatment, and there was some jinnat in the person. So he spoke to the jinnat, and he asked the jinnat, "Who sent you?" So the jinnat said, "Allah protect, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi sent me." Now it's obvious that thing was speaking lies. But now if you're going to listen to all the stories and you're going to believe all these things, this will break up entire family structures, and it's breaking up already. You'll see whole family structures have been broken up. Why? Because of the shaitan speaking some lies. Sometimes it's telling the mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law did something for her. It's saying the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law is convinced the daughter-in-law is an enemy. The daughter-in-law is convinced the mother-in-law is an enemy. But the reality is, no one is no one's enemy. This is just the work of shaitan. This is the work of the shayateen. This is what they do. They yearn to create problems. They yearn to create conflicts. They yearn to break us apart. However, as I mentioned, this is a reality, but the purpose of this program is not that we become paranoid and we attribute everything to jinnat. No, that is obviously incorrect. People becoming paranoid and attributing everything to jinnat and everything to sihr and nazar, this is not right. There are different causes in the world. Person is sick, then often it may be his diet. He's not eating healthily, or his poor lifestyle. He's not exercising. So because of that, the man is getting sick. Then he's blaming it on the shaitan. He's blaming it on the jinnat. It is also sometimes possible that there could be a few causes. A man may have a sickness. Maybe there's a physical cause to that. And there's also a spiritual cause. There's something that is aggravating it. Often things miss, then people blame the jinnat. Now remember, it is possible for shayateen and jinnat to steal things. It's possible, it happened in the past, and it still happens. But more often than not, it's a human being.
behind it.
So first make sure you've checked that out properly before you start blaming the jinnat and the shaitans who can't even defend themselves. They can't come in open and tell you, we are not guilty of this. So somewhere in Johannesburg, someone's house, things were missing. So they told them, they went to some amil, the amil told them, you know, the jinnat is stealing these things. So some time passed like this, good few months, good few years. And once the worker was gone out somewhere, and they happened to go into the worker's room, and they found all that stuff there. So that turned out to be the so-called jinnat that must have been stealing all the things. So what I'm saying is that it does happen, but first you look at external causes. Even when it comes to physical things, you look at the medical field, you will see maybe there's some reason why this is happening to me, or you get a good hakim, herbal treatment, you try those things. And after that you can also look into the aspect of the shayateen and the jinnat. So we don't blame everything on jinnat and shayateen, but they are a reality, and it is important for us to do what we have to do. A lot of times you'll ask a person, why are you doing what you're supposed to do? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned a person coming home, and we can now, each person can take stock of his own self. A person is walking into the home, he's coming back from work. If he says Bismillah when he's walking into the home, and then when he's having his supper, again he says Bismillah and he starts eating, then the shaitan says to all the other shayateen, La mabita lakum wala asha'a. Tonight, no accommodation for you, no supper. If the person enters his house and he doesn't say Bismillah, then the shaitan says to the other shayateen, Adraktumul mabit. We got our accommodation tonight. When he's eating his supper, he forgets to say Bismillah. So shaitan says to the other shayateen, Adraktumul mabita wal asha. Tonight you've got your accommodation as well as you got your supper. So we, our own selves, by not taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we made our homes a B&B for the shayateen. Made it a B&B. So now, hey, why this thing is troubling me? Why the shaitan is troubling me? Person is going to the toilet. He's not reading his dua. Remember, shayateen, they normally will hang around in napak places. A few places that the ulama mentioned. One of the places that are napak, places that are dirty. So the toilet, you'll find all the shayateen, you'll find all the jinnats. That's why, Allahumma inni bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khabaith. Oh Allah, I seek your protection against the napak male jinns and the napak female jinnat. So the person covers his head, he's wearing shoes, he's going into the toilet, he's reading his dua, he's protected. But he's not covering his hair. A female not covering her hair, she's going into the toilet, she's not reading her duas, now she's getting affected. Now who do you blame? Who do you blame for this? If the person is doing everything, then he can say, no, Alhamdulillah, I'm doing everything. But in a lot of instances, you'll find that we are not doing what we're supposed to do. Look at the Ayatul Kursi. What a powerful wazifa. Ayatul Kursi. We need a whole session just to speak about Ayatul Kursi and the meaning behind Ayatul Kursi. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu ta'ala, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, has got this in his kitab. When he should come home, he should go to the four corners of the house and he should read Ayatul Kursi and blow. So what was the wisdom? One is that to chase all the shayateen away and to get the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the four corners of his house. I need my house to be protected. All four corners. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, once he was wrestling with a jinnat. Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu was Hazrat Umar radiallahu. So he dropped the jinnat. So the jinnat told him, okay, just give me a break and I'll share something with you. I'll tell you a secret, how you can protect yourselves against us. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu released him. The jinnat told him, Ayatul Kursi. You read Ayatul Kursi, you'll be protected. But how are you reading that Ayatul Kursi? It mustn't just be a repetition of words. It mustn't just be like, you know, you're just saying it for this reason of saying, no, I read Ayatul Kursi. No, read it with full conviction. Read it with devotion. We need to learn the translations of these verses. Learn the translation, what powerful translation is. If you can just read it with the translation in mind and conviction, already you will find so many problems are getting solved. A person is already feeling serenity coming within him. Just by reading this, he's feeling at ease, he's feeling relaxed. Amal-e Qur'an is the famous kitab. Originally, this kitab was in Arabic. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali had seen this kitab. He liked the kitab. It's all the amals from the Quran Sharif. So he told someone to translate it to Urdu. That's why normally you'll find the name of Hazrat Muashifa Thani Rahmatullah Ali on this kitab. And he also explained the reason for this. He said, why I'm getting this kitab translated in Urdu? I want the people to educate themselves about these du'as and these amals, because a lot of people are going to wrong sources for help. People are going to Hindus, they're going to pundits, they're going to all these different sources. They're losing the iman. Allah protect, trying to sort one problem out and you're creating a bigger problem for yourself. You're losing your iman. So in that there's one incident mentioned about a trader. He went to Basra. So he went to Basra. He's looking for some accommodation, can't find any accommodation. Those days wasn't like now how we've got hotels and whatever. So he found one abandoned house. He thought, I'll spend the night there. Spider webs and the bad condition, but the man needs to sleep the night. So he approaches the owner, I'll pay you something, but give me permission to sleep in this house. So the owner tells him, why do you want to jeopardize your life? There is a very powerful jinnat that lives here. And people that are coming here, that thing is attacking them. Don't worry about all that. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala is a protector. And he made some deal with him, gave him some money, and he goes to sleep at night. In the middle of the night, he sees this figure coming towards him. This huge black figure with red eyes, fiery eyes, coming to attack him. So he starts reading Ayatul Kursi. As he's reading Ayatul Kursi, that thing is reading with him as well. Eventually when he comes to the last part, وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. That cannot read. For some reason that thing stops reading. So he understands he just needs to repeat this. And he carried on repeating it, reading it over and over again. And see, that also teaches us, we should not be scared of these things. Remember, fear, why must we be afraid? We've got iman in our hearts. We have got the Quran Sharif. We have got Ayatul Kursi. We have got Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is in control of everything. مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاسِيَةٍ. There's no moving creature except that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is holding it on its forelock. So as a mu'min and as a believer, put your trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When you're saying Allahu Akbar, there's a very powerful message. Allah is the greatest. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is greater than your fears. Allah is greater than your phobias. Allah is greater than your enemies. Whoever they are, Allah is the greatest. Why should you be afraid? Why should you worry about this? So he carried on reading that, and that darkness just disappeared. And this person goes and he has a peaceful sleep. In the morning when he wakes up, he sees like a whole lot of ashes that are lying around. Seems like something got burnt. And then he heard a voice from the unseen telling him that you have destroyed a very powerful jinnat. So he asked the person, or he asked the voice, that how did I destroy it? Said, through the barakat of Ayatul Kursi and repeating وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْزُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Just through the barakat of that, you have destroyed this very, very powerful jinnat. So as I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us. And these stories still happen till this day and time. A few years ago, someone phoned me from one of the areas around here. And this jinnat was coming at night and attacking this certain man and sometimes attacking his children. So it happened one night. So the mother started reading Quran Sharif. The wife, she started reading Quran. And we've got this clip, normally we send, it's a 48 minute clip. It's a bit of a, the person is reading in a bit of a gruff voice. So a lot of people get frightened just by hearing the recitation. So he just put it on, he put that thing off. So she is playing that thing, and maybe about an hour continued, she's reading and she's playing this clip and just carrying on. Just hears like a pat sound. See like a whole lot of particles of black all around. After that, everything settled, everyone settled in the house. That's what I'm saying, this thing still happens now, right? There was no voice from the unseen. But the signs now, that after a little while, that thing settled. So there's no reason for a person to get worried. Just do what you have to do and turn your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he mentioned one incident. See, the jinnat's got their own world as well. Like how we human beings are. They are also the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The laws of Shariat also apply to them. They eat, they drink, they get married. They've got their own world. And there are people that have been to that world. The people till now that have been to that world, and they can tell you stories of what happened. One acquaintance of mine from another area, he related his incident several years ago. This person was going through some problem. Some very serious problem, seemed to have had some serious effects of black magic, etc. And one day, he's reading Quran Sharif in the masjid. Two people approach him, and they tell him, we came to treat you. Wakes up, walks with them. Walking in the street, like now you're walking here on the road, but all of a sudden, he's in another world. So there's some sort of portal, some way that you will get into this. So people who go and go to that, then they know how to do it. But it's also quite dangerous to go on that side, because sometimes they may just keep you there. They may not let you back. So they took him, and then they put him down, they made him lie down, they read Quran Sharif to him, they blew on him, they gave him some things to read, they told him, he was feeling much lighter, much better, they told him, go back now, read this. Our Amir sent us. There's a lot of incidents of this nature. As I mentioned, time now, we don't have much time. Otherwise we can carry on now till midnight with this topic, story upon story. And then they brought him back to the masjid and they left him. So there are people that have been to that other world, the other realm. So going back to this Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah story that he mentioned in one of his kitabs, he says that one person was traveling on a ship and he had 10,000 dinars, 10,000 gold coins. So he hears a voice from the unseen that who wants me to teach them something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always protect them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove their problems through the barakat of what I'm going to teach them. But in exchange of 10,000 gold coins. 10,000 gold coins now too is a lot of money, and in those days too it was a lot of money. So this person said me. This shows you the zeal for knowledge. People had knowledge. People wanted to learn. One of the biggest problems now is people don't want to learn. They don't want to educate themselves. So eventually when they face with a problem, they don't know what to do. They've got no direction because they don't want direction. So if you don't want direction, you're going to be a confused character your whole life. You won't know what to do. You won't know where to go. You won't know what steps to take. So the voice told him, okay, throw the money in the ocean. So the man takes the 10,000 gold coins and he throws it in the ocean. So the voice then tells him that who reads this ayat here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve all his problems for him. And this ayat is another topic now for me to go into to people's own stories. Because the different wazifas now, certain things, there's whole kitabs that have been compiled. Not on this ayat, but you take for example, Hamim La Yunsarun. The whole kitab compiled on different people's incidents of how that helped them. Different types of stories. Different wazifas. Ayatul Kursi got its own kitab. Surah Yasin got its own kitabs. People giving their own stories of what benefit they found in their lives. Which ayat now? The ayat of Surah At-Talaq. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِي قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. People in the ship are telling this man, any one of us could have told you this. Something seriously wrong with you. Crazy, you lost 10,000 gold coins. While this whole discussion is going on, now one of the wisdoms, Allah Ta'ala knows best, but one of the wisdoms why he had to give that 10,000 gold coins was for him to have the value of that. You see, sometimes when you get something for free, you don't value it. Something comes very easily, you don't value it. Very often in the madrasa, the boys will ask, Walana, what's this wazifa for this? What's this amal for this? So I normally quote the incident of my ustad, Hazrat Maulana Ismail Katrada Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Said one person came to me, he asked me for one wazifa for something. Now Maulana had some very unique wazifas, if anyone knew him. Some things he got from different parts of the world. So he told a person, you won't get it so easily. You come visit me every now and again, you meet me. One day I'm in a good mood, I'll give it to you. Don't just think you're just going to ask for it like that, you're just going to get it. So sometimes when you get something very easily, you don't have qadr for it, you don't value it. So here this heavy storm broke out and heavy winds. And shortly after that, the whole ship is wrecked. This person is just reading the ayat now. He learned that some paid money for it. In fact, my Ismail Qadrada Rahmatullahi, once he went on Jalsa, someone was giving kitabs out for free. So he told someone, you know, all these people, they won't value this kitab. Why are they getting it for free? Take the kitab, lie in your car, it lies somewhere in your house. The day you pay for the kitab, you value it. Then you read the kitab, because you paid for it. Rather sell the kitab, put a small price to the kitab, so people buy it, then they value it. So, this person is just reading his ayat, and things are just working out for him. He found one raft, floating on the raft. Other people are drowning, people are dying, alhamdulillah, this man, things are just working for him. Continues like that, floating. Eventually, he comes to like some island. He sees this palace here, and there's a woman on the island. So she sees him, and she's shocked also, where this man just came up from, no one else here. So he related his incident to her. So he asks her, but who are you? So she says, I am a woman from Basra. And I am living here on this island with this Ifrit Jinnat. He lives in this palace. And if there's any wreckage in the sea, he goes and any valuable goods, he puts it here. And she tells him that you rather stand up and move from here because he's going to shortly come and he's going to kill you. So he's still talking to her and he sees this huge, you know, Ifrit now. He's a very strong Jinnat. There's different categories in the jinnat. You get the shayateen, you get the ifrit, you get the marada or marid, Then you get the Amir, Awamir, you get different types of jinnat. Generally, they've got different strengths as well. But the Ifrit is regarded among the most powerful. Very, very powerful. قَالَ إِفْرِيتُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ Quran Sharif speaks about Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam's incident when Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to bring the throne of Bilqis. Bilqis is coming to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam with her whole army. He said, before she comes, they say that throne was so huge and so massive. So the Ifrit, he offered Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam that أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam should sit in the morning and by around Zohar time, Zawal time, he should stand up. He should sit with the people and whatever cases would come to him. So like, give me like half a day, I'll bring it. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam said, no, I want it quicker than that. Half a day is too long and thousands of kilometers. So that was Hazrat Asif ibn Barkhaya, rahmatullahi alayhi, a very great Buzurg and saint from the followers of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. He said, I will bring it to you in the flash of an eye. And he knew the Ism-e-Azam. So he read the Ism-e-Azam and that throne just traveled somehow with Allah's permission. And it was in front of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So this Ifrit anyway, we just digress, but it's also on the topic. So this Ifrit came and it wants to attack this man. So he starts reading the same ayat. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ Allah will provide for him from sources he never imagined. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ Who puts his trust on Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. See, this is one of our weaknesses. We're not making sufficient dua. We're not making sufficient dua. I'm not saying people are not making dua. But either it's just a lip service, we're not crying to Allah Ta'ala, we're not begging from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and we're not making enough dua. No, people of the past, man is traveling, people told me their own incidents. Until now you get this. Man is traveling from Joburg to Durban, 6-7 hour journey. Mother, granny, someone is on the musalla making dua. Whole time. That man is traveling, they're making dua for him. Sometimes few people are making dua. Mother is making dua, auntie is making dua, granny is making dua, giving sadaqah, making dua. Someone's going into theater, whole time, they're in theater, people are making dua. Someone is in namaz, someone in dua, someone crying to Allah Ta'ala. Now what it is, a man going to theater, is out, who's making dua, who's crying to Allah Subhanahu, who's waking up. So we're not making dua. Now we're saying we got all this problem, but are we asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the source? Go back to Allah ta'ala. If you got Allah's help, إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ Remember, if Allah's help is with you, there is no superpower, there is no force on the surface of this earth that can drop you. There's no one that can frighten you. There's no one that can intimidate you. The problem is, we don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to cry. We don't want to make tawbah. We don't want to make istighfar. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one person came to complain to him. Hazrat, always I'm being attacked. What Hazrat told him? Aadmi apne aap ko bequsoor na samjhe. Don't ever think to yourself, you're innocent. Something in your life is wrong. Sometimes you can be very pious outwardly. What's the condition of your heart? Sometimes you've got some jealousy in your heart. Maybe you've got pride in your heart. Maybe you've got the love of the dunya in your heart. Maybe you want fame. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you look into the mirror of tawbah, the more you will see your own faults. Wabki ala khatiyati. This is the time. It's the time to cry. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pious people sometimes tahajjud time crying like small babies. Pious people, Allah walas. Man never missed tahajjud his whole life. But it's crying to Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, this person starts reading his ayat now. But that is the message also. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ Allah will accomplish whatever he has to accomplish. Allah Ta'ala has got a fixed time. He is reading this ayat. This jinnat gets burnt. Whole jinnat is reduced to ashes. Big ifrit jinnat. There's another story also. Can't remember the details of the story. But there the person started reading the ayat, فَلَمَّا أَلْقُوا قَالَ مُوسَى مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُسْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ وَيُحِقُّ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. To the burden of that, he overpowered a very powerful jinnat. Destroyed it completely. So this person tells this girl, you can stand up now, and alhamdulillah, you're no more enslaved. Now this thing about kidnapping, jinnat kidnapping is also a rare thing, but it still happens till this day and time. So we'll just finish the story, we'll go back to that point. So this person, they went into that palace, and some valuable things, they took it. They said, hey, let's take all these valuable things, now no one is here. Somehow or the other, they managed to flag down some ship from a distance. The ship came through, took them, so they needed to go to Basra. This girl was from Basra. So he took her back to Basra, and then perhaps they were at a certain place, but then he went to make some inquiries that there's a certain girl, and she has been found. So the family told him that this girl is missing from 3 years. From 3 years, we've got no records of her. He says, no, she's back. And when they saw her, they were really excited, and they all began to hold on her and cling on to her. And then she told them that the person who did me the greatest favor was this man. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. When Allah ta'ala wants to bring about a solution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that happen. So this whole story had to happen. But this woman was in bondage. We don't know what dua she must have been making for her family. And here she says, since this person was so kind to me, get me married to him, and they got her married to him. Eventually, she became his wife. But I was showing you the power of the Quran Sharif, the power of the ayats of the Quran. So we were speaking about this shayateen kidnapping people. In the time of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi, Allama Damiri Rahmatullahi mentions this incident in his famous kitab, Hayatul Hayawan. One person from Baghdad, he came to Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi, and he told him that a jinnat kidnapped my daughter. So Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi told him, you go to this certain place in Karkh, and there's some, like, maybe, like a jungle or something. You go there, and you make a circle around you. Bismillahi ala niyati Abdul Qadir. Make the circle in the name of Allah Ta'ala, according to whatever the niyat of Abdul Qadir Jilani is. And throughout the night, you'll see these jinnats going past. But don't worry. Eventually, you'll see the king. When the king comes, you talk to him. And you tell him, I sent you. So he goes exactly as he told him, he's there at night, he's made the circle around him, he's seeing different forms, these things are looking at him, but nothing can come into the circle, so he's safe. Anyway, as it comes to closer to the morning time now, last sixth of the night, then the king is passing by. So the king stops, what you want? So he said, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi, he sent me here. He directed me to talk to you. When he heard his name, jumped off the horse. He was on the horse, the king was on the horse, jumped off the horse, showed him a lot of respect. What's your problem, brother? What can I do for you? He says, no, this is the problem. My daughter was kidnapped by a jinnat. So Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi told him, the king of the jinnat, he summoned his soldiers. And he said, bring that person to me now, who kidnapped this person's daughter. Go and quickly do a search, and find this girl, and find the person who, the jinnat who kidnapped her. So they brought one very stubborn jinnat, Marit, min Maradati Sin, from China. And he came with this girl. So the king is asking him, what prompted you? Tahta rihal al-qutub. You were under the stirrups of the qutub, you know, in his area. What possessed you to kidnap a girl from this area? you know the kutub of the time is in this area. But no, she was appealing to me, and I liked her, so I took her. So he told him, kill him. And then he told this person, take your daughter. So this person was very, very shocked, because first time he witnessed something like this. And it happened like within seconds, like within minutes, just the girl was there. So he says, you know, first time I'm experiencing something so swift, so quick. So he said, you know, who is this man? This man is the kutub of the time. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَقَامَ كُتُبًا مَكَّنَهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. When Allah Ta'ala appoints a kutub, you know what position he got? He got control over the jinnat and the insan. Not only the jinnat, also the insan. That is why one of our ustads, person from Bangladesh, he used to say, Amiro ke piche mat paro. Kamiro ke piche. Why are you chasing after amils? Chase after kamils, chase after the Ahlullah, the Buzuganideen. Because they'll raise their hand, they'll make dua to Allah Ta'ala. You'll see miracles happening. You don't want to go that now, you're chasing after different amils. Oh, go to the pious people. Allah Wala's, they'll make dua for you. And they'll turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't know tahajjud time. What dua that man will make. Some tears will fall from his cheeks. Allah Ta'ala will solve the problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about a solution for you. So these things do happen. And these shayateen, they are in different places. That is why we have to start reading our urad, start reading our morning and evening duas. The morning and evening duas are very, very powerful. All the different duas you get in the kitabs. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق بسم الله الذي لا يدور مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. The manzil. Now we've got this brochure, and I think this is one of the reasons why we actually do the program, is to prepare the brochure. So alhamdulillah, there's about 10 different amals. Previously we had a program on nazar. We have prepared the brochure for nazar, and we've also prepared for sihar, and this is now for jinnat. And in the end, the common amal you'll find is the magic manzil. And really, this manzil Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept such effect in it. Again, yeah, time does not permit us to go into details. I don't want to make this program very long. But you will need a dedicated program just to speak about the manzil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept great effect. And many great awliya, the likes of Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi, his family. Where does manzil come from? His family. You know, he comes from such a great family. Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib rahmatullahi, and all so many his ancestors. Khandla was known to have great buzugai. His uncle was Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullahi. His father was Maulana Muhammad Yahya rahmatullahi. So they actually, it wasn't in a book form. They would read the ayats from the Quran Sharif directly. People would ask him, alright, open first para, read this ayat. Then open second para, third para, whatever. Read this ayat. So they would show the people the ayats. Then eventually Hazrat Shaykh Ramatullahi felt it's difficult every time to open the Quran Sharif and show the people the ayats. Let's put this in a book form. So he put it in a book form. And on numerous occasions, when people came for different problems. And remember, the manzil has got shifa in it for 100 sicknesses. 100 sicknesses. This is coming from very strong sources. Shawaliullah Ramatullahi also got, but he got 33 ayats. Those 33 ayats come in the manzil. There's a whole narration here. Make it a point of reading this. Time does not permit me to read it now. Sometimes I read it out. But the whole story of Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi and the 33 ayats. Now these 33 ayats come in the manzil, and there's more ayats in the manzil. So on numerous occasions I told people, read the manzil. But the right way to read it is in the morning you read it, so it will give you protection till the night. And in the night you read it, it will give you protection till the morning. So it gives you like a 12-hour protection. People told me, Maulana, manzil. I said, gee, the manzil. Which manzil? The one that comes in our normal kitabs, you know, what to read every night, or contentment of that city, are the same manzil. So, but read it properly. Read it properly, read it with yaqeen, read it. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, Allah ta'ala kept shifa in His words. In fact, some mashayikh say, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَشْفِ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَا شِفَى لَهُ. If you don't look for shifa in the Quran, there's no shifa for you. Whatever sickness you got, whatever problem you got, read Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif has got shifa in it. So I can't recall the amount of times when people came back to me and they told me, Mulana, that thing really works. Sometimes I met someone after a few weeks, few months, brother, how's things with? Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling much better now. Someone got migraines, the migraines is gone. Someone got some other problem, the problem is gone. And sometimes now, you may need to read and blow on the water. You need to drink the water. Keep a spray bottle, spray your face, spray your head, spray your house. Anything you got doubt about, you're feeling anything is looking doubtful, maybe this is something, first spray the manzil water on it. Don't touch it with your naked hands. Because you can just touch it and it can be a problem. So you spray the manzil water and then there's ways to remove it, there's ways to destroy it. But this manzil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept great effect in it. The other dua that's very, very effective, and this is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. If a person reads this dua 100 times in the morning, then there's great rewards for him to get. It's equivalent to freeing 10 slaves. 100 hasanat written for him. 100 sins wiped out. وَكَانَتْ هِرْزًا لَهُ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ ذَلِكِ إِلَىٰ اِيُّمْسِيَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That's a protection for him from that morning till the night. He's reading this. Arabs, you'll find they read this a lot. Even after namaz, if you go to Saudi, there are a lot of them. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulk, wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Another very effective dua is, you read, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytani rajim, three times. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul ghaybi wa shahada huwa ar-rahmanur rahim. Till the end of Surah Al-Hashr. Once. So three times, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytani rajim. And you read that once. So normally the narration say, 70,000 angels make dua for you. From the morning till the night. But Ibn Mardawi, he's got one narration that says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints 70,000 angels, يَتْرُدُونَ عَنْهُ شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. 70,000 angels protecting you. Any jinnat, any shaitan trying to come your way, they'll push it away. So these wazaif, these duas, as we spoke about, Ayatul Kursi, Mawazateen, Surah Falak, Surah Nas, these are very, very powerful duas, they are very powerful wazifas. It's something that we need to be reading all the time with full yaqeen and full conviction, and we need to teach it to our family. We need to teach it to the women folk. We need to teach it to the children, that they also reading this. Then inshallah this will be a source of protection and a source of great barakah and blessings. And never ever lose hope. Nowadays, very quickly, people become despondent. Very quickly they become despondent, they start losing hope. Hey, now I'm finished. I can't come right. There's no way out. You do what you have to do. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But adopt the correct means within the confines of the Sharia. There's so many other things that we have to say that we're just going to end up now with this last point, and we're going to make zikr for a few minutes inshallah and make dua. And remember, zikr is also a very, very effective way of repelling the shayateen. We should formulate this congregational zikr. People should be sitting together and making their zikr every day, even if they're not making the same zikr. Somebody is making a loud zikr, is very, very effective. Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, till the end of his life, is one of those awliya that continued with the loud zikr. And the loud zikr got its own effect. Where loud zikr is made, remember, these forces of batil are coming with a lot of strength. Then it's not weak now. So different people sitting together, each person combines spiritual power, his spiritual effulgence. Together now they're sitting, they're making zikr. It's got a greater effect in crushing the forces of batil. Azan also has got its own effect. So don't ever lose hope. Whatever the situation be, there's one kitab I've got. There's a group of amils in India, ulama. They formulated a certain method of treatment. It's like manzil, but they added few ayats to it, they added azan. But they got a certain way to do it. You start in the morning, and you know, as long as you can manage to do it, either read it, listen to it, keep water in front of you. But very, very positive results, alhamdulillah. Certain people had cancer. Maybe the cancer was caused because of sihr, etc., whatever it was. They got treated. People had some sicknesses. They've got a whole introduction to this. It may actually be good to translate this kitab into English. I don't think there's an English translation for it. So they mentioned one incident of a certain lady was affected for 16 years. 16 years this lady was affected. People lost hope now. Will she ever come right? So they started the same method of treatment. And this jinnat started speaking through her. And after a little while, first he told him, hey, I'm not worried, I'm not going to go, this is not going to happen. They said, no one told you to go. You don't engage in this thing with this thing. It's just a waste of time. It's talking, it's just a waste of time to try and distract you, to stop you from reading. So no one told you to go. We think what we have to do. You stay along. But after some time, the thing started getting like very, very agitated, and it could see it's getting weak now. So he told them, one of the days, the person who sent me is going to come to take me out. And about 5 days after that, one sadhu, he knocked at the door. Hindu. He says, you know what? I'm very sorry. I'm apologizing to you people. Someone paid me 500 rupees. But now, I'm prepared to even pay you 5,000 or even 50,000 if you want. But let me take this thing and go. Because he was getting harmed. As this thing was getting affected, that thing was impacting on him. Remember all these things. What goes around comes around. People who do these things, eventually they will suffer the most. And there will be no one that can help them. There will be nobody that can help, because that's from Allah Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala is setting that punishment, that's like a punishment for that person. So he comes in, he does something, and he takes the thing out and he goes. And alhamdulillah, the woman comes back to normal, completely normal. After 16 years of suffering. So don't ever lose hope. Don't ever become despondent. Always turn our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our homes, make it angel friendly. Get rid of all the pictures of animate objects. Music. Music chases the angels away. So there must be no music. Try and make the home angel friendly. So there's more farishtas in the home. So there's tilawat of the Quran Sharif. There's zikr being made. There's namaz being read. Inshallah, to the barakat of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. And as we mentioned, these brochures will be given out. And there's about 10 different methods, alhamdulillah, in the past. With the brochures we had given out, we had received quite a bit of positive feedback. People told us that, you know, alhamdulillah, we tried some of the things, we did it, and we found a lot of benefit in it. And you don't need to be paying big money, and you don't need to be going around looking for people who are going to rob you and take your money away, because remember, this has become a very big business. So there's a lot of people out there, they will claim to you they got different powers. And people sometimes come to me after many years, and Maulana, I lost hundreds of thousands of rands. Because I brought someone down from here, and I brought someone down from there, and I flew to Africa, and I flew to this place, and I flew to Mauritania, and people charged me in dollars, and people charged me in pounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Yes, if you need to go for some assistance, then make sure you look for a reliable person. Reliable person, a man who is not motivated by money, and a person who is within the confines of the Shariat. Not that you're taking a woman and someone is touching them and someone wants to take them in certain place. Stay very far away from all these people. Don't ever take your daughters Don't take your woman folk to anyone who wants to touch them, or who wants to see them, or wants to go in seclusion with them. No, no, you stay outside, because this, don't ever allow anything like this. Allah protect. So many women have lost their respect, they have lost their integrity. There's so many stories, as I said, time does not permit us now to go into any more details. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever they are, any part of the world, wherever anyone is going through any difficulty, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove his difficulty, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with divine protection throughout our lives, till the time we leave this world. Allah must protect us, protect our children and our progenies till the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll make zikr for a short while. La ilaha illallah, 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 illa Allah, la ilaha 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 illa Allah, la Allah, la ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin hamdan muwafiyan li ni'amihi mukafiyan li mazidihi was-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa junudihi. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna sayyidana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh. Allahumma salli salatan kamilatan wa sallim salaman tama ala sayyidina Muhammad tanhallu bihi al-uqad wa tanfariju bihi al-kurab wa tuqda bihi al-hawaij wa tunalu bihi al-raghaib wa husnu al-khawatim wa yustasqa al-ghamamu biwajhihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi fi kulli lamhatin wa nafas bi'adadi kulli ma'lumin lak. La ilaha illallah al-halimul kareem. Subhanallahi rabbil arshil azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Nas'aluka mujibati rahmatik wa azaim maghfiratik wal ghanimata min kulli bir wa salamata min kulli ith. La tada' lana dhanban illa ghafarta, la tada' lana dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la deenan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafita, wa la maridan illa shafita, wa la karban illa nafasta, wa la hajatan hiya laka ridan illa qadaytaha wa yassartaha ya arhamar rahimin. يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية, اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم, ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر, ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال, ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. اللهم يا كافي البلاء اكفنا البلاء قبل نزوله من السماء. يا الله يا الله يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان, اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي كشمير وفي بورما وفي يمن وفي السودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أيده بتأييدك, اللهم افتح لهم فتحا مبينا وانصرهم نصرا عزيزا. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز. اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وأمنهم من خوف, اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وأمنهم من خوف. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين, اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا, اللهم فك أسرانا وأسر المسلمين. اللهم انزل رحمة من رحمتك وشفاء من شفائك على هذا الوجع. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيهم, أذهب الباس رب الناس, واشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك, شفاء لا يغادر سقما. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات, إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, اللهم أصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, اللهم فرج عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم, ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك تمام النعمة ودوام العافية وحسن الخاتمة. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله.
fruitful.